Thank you so much for joining Other Things with Mike Ferguson. I am so excited to finally have a lifelong friend. I have known Mountain Man Mike for 38 years, and we're going to talk about my first remembrance of him. But before we get too far into it, hey, Mike Ferguson, Mountain Man Mike, thank you for being on the show. Good to have
Thanks.
You.
It's good to be here, Kenny. Good to see you.
And I want to just lay a disclaimer. Though Mike does play Santa Claus at Christmas, he's actually not the Santa Claus.
That's true.
But now you do teach a yoga class. Are you still doing the yoga?
No. I had hip surgery 2 years ago, and I don't do yoga like I used to.
But now, what was the name of your yoga class?
It was Fat Man Yoga with Santa Claus.
I mean, my friend, that would get me there past the cycling class where they turn the heat up to 140. I mean, to do a Fat Man Yoga with Santa Claus would be a must see. Okay.
It was 1 hour. It was a 1 hour session. I only had one other student.
But there was great progress made.
There was.
I first met Mike and when I went to Greenwood, Arkansas to serve as an associate pastor. It ended up being of youth music and education. But Mike was one of the student sponsors working with the kids. And we planned early on, it's right after I got there, that we planned early on to do some flag football down at the school. The town was very accessible. And so Mike was on the opposing team and, you know, they brought the flag. Some kid brought the flag. So we're playing flag football. Well, Mike is of Scottish descent where they play rugby. And very quickly, I found out that in Greenwood, Arkansas, according to Mountain Man Mike, flag football is a little bit of rugby mixed in. So he's built like a stump and thick and solid. And so he went for the flag that was in my hip pocket and took me down and hurt me. And I got up and I didn't know the man at the time. I didn't know you. And took me down and I got up and I said, this is supposed to be flag football. And Mike said, well, I was just going for the flag. So that's my first remembrance of you, Mike.
Well, when I played football, we used to call it hard-nosed football. We didn't have flags.
Well, so anyway, I'm so excited to have you. We've been talking about doing this for some time, but it's taken me a while to get my sea legs as far as being able to feel comfortable in doing this. And this is probably about the sixth or seventh show. But before we get too far into it, I would like for Mike, if you would share a little bit about your background, your early years, your salvation, because he truly is a mountain man. And I can testify, and I know where Mike's from, and he is from the hills. But Mike, just give us a little bit of that background, so our guests can know you better.
Okay, I was we were living in Westport when I was born, and then moved to Fayetteville for a short time, and then went back to Winslow. And Winslow was where basically. I actually lived in the hills, in the woods. There was 160 acres on our, it was my great grandpa's actual homestead was what we lived on. It was a three-room log cabin with a lean-to on it. And the lean-to was the kitchen. But, and we had a path. We had one bedroom with a path. And it went to the outhouse, which was 50 yards away. But as a kid, my parents we never went to church. When I was 11 years old, my mom took us to a VBS, Vacation Bible School, at a church there in Westport, First Baptist. And there was five of us that I got radically saved. The other four, I'm not going to mention any names, but they They became wayward. I actually became wayward during a time when I knew I was saved, but I didn't have any discipleship from the time I was 11 till the time I graduated high school. And so with that being said, I had a free rein because I was out in the world. I was working a good job, made good money. And so I kind of went wild, but all this time I was praying, Lord, show me a path. And I actually had made some mistakes. And finally I said, Lord, I I'm not worthy of anything, but you can show me a vision of hell. And I did. And there was a drastic time for me at that time. And I went through it. It was about 3.5 years long, and got to the end of it. And it's funny, you know, most people says they've never heard anything from the Lord. But, well, one day I was praying, and this voice, like an exterior voice, said, "You don't have to live like this. You're a child of the kings." And I thought, I am a child of the kings. Why am I living like this? So I was living over in Oklahoma at the time. I'd transferred down to Fort Smith to work. And I went and I closed down this trailer house I was living in. And I moved to Fort Smith, and I'd not been there 3 days. I was working a lot out of town at that time, so I just had a little old efficiency apartment. And the welcome wagon came from First Baptist Fort Smith, and so I can't remember the guy's name. I think you knew him, Kenny. From the Bible bookstore over on
Towson. the Christian Family Center.
Anyway, he came over and he was talking to me, and I had a 12 string guitar out there, and he played flamenco guitar, so he got my guitar and I thought he's going to beat it to pieces. Anyway, they finally, you know, moved around to what the Baptists always ask is, "Are you saved, brother?" And I said, "Well, I said I got baptized and saved when I was 11." But he said, "I said I don't know. And he said, "Well, are you living for the Lord?" And when he asked that question, I said, "No." I said, "I don't know how." I had no discipleship, so I didn't really know how to live for the Lord, and so. He said, he talked a little longer, and finally he said, "Won't you come down to First Baptist Church?" He said, "We'll plug you in and let you learn down there." So I said, "Okay." I said, "I can't come this weekend. I had to go back to Winslow and help my uncle with some cattle. We were branding and dehorning." And but the next week I went back, and there was a great preacher there, Bill Bennett. Did you remember him, Kenny?
Yeah, Dr. Bennett.
Yeah. Anyway, he was he had a pastor's class, and he constantly taught on revelations, eschatology, and that's a big word I'd never heard of, but it's end time study. And so I got into that, and we went through that. I went through it probably 2 or 3 times, and then I met my wife, my future wife, and she started going with me. She was Catholic, and so she would come, and then we'd make a trip. We'd do First Baptist, then we'd go to Catholic Church, and then later on we would go to First Baptist Greenwood, where I met you, Kenny, and joined, and I'll tell you, your old pastor, because he, you know, he proclaimed he was a truck driver. Well, I knew a lot of truck drivers, and I said, if that man can be a truck driver and get saved, I'm going to join his church. So I joined the first week I came and visited, and we were living down here then. But I think my big walk was being involved, just being involved in, I was involved with the youth group there at First Baptist. I was involved with RAs, and that was back when they called it Royal Ambassadors. And I learned that Royal Ambassador pledge. As a Royal Ambassador, I will do my best to become a well-informed, responsible follower of Christ, have a Christ-like concern for all people, and basically show my love to others for Christ. And that's that was a big influence on my life. And then
let me say the Royal Ambassadors is like a Cub Scouts for boys, for teaching them in the way of Christ.
Yeah.
And mission, and missions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Principles of Christian living. And it was staggered like, it was kind of staggered like knighthood. You became a serf and then something else. And then eventually you became a knight. But it was pretty, I enjoyed it. It was good. And I got to Bear Cheney and Fred Denton. They got them joined and helped me with it. And but later on, this was after you left, Kenny, we had some problems. And I decided, I was working in the bus ministry, and I said, this don't look like Christianity. So I actually left First Baptist, and then I floated around different churches for a while looking for a church home. My wife was still going to Catholic Church, and I never even considered going to Catholic Church. And then I can't remember. Oh, I know what it was. We had they called them retreats. It was basically the same synonym as a revival in the Baptist church. And we had this priest came over from East Arkansas. And when he presented his homilies, he played guitar. He was an Elvis fan, and he loved Elvis. So he would play that guitar with his homilies, and he would sing his homilies. It was so cool. And I thought, man, I wish I could get some of that, because I've been playing guitar all these years. Well, lo and behold, I joined the Catholic Church and became involved with Charismatic Renewal. I played in a praise band for 18 years. And you and I have talked, Kenny, about where the Holy Spirit resides in us, and I had this was the first time that I had ever been really exposed to the power of the Holy Spirit when we were doing they were called what was it, Catholic Charismatic Conference. That's what it was. And we've had as many as probably 500 people. And we formed this band just from all over the state. And we only played one time a year, and that was at the conference. We didn't practice. We didn't talk to anybody. We came to the conference. It was a Holy Spirit thing that joined us, and we sounded like a seasoned band, and the people loved it. And but our worship leader, he got diabetes and passed away a few years ago. So I just, you know, I'm sitting here and play my guitar, and I'm playing at church this Saturday. I'm trying to figure out my hands of I'm getting carpal tunnel But
well, and let me say, Mike's carpal tunnel isn't just because of age. We're all Mike and I are aging. We were both a whole lot younger when we first met. Yeah. But in Mike's true mountain man way, he's still, you know, hacking down huge oak trees. He helped a neighbor that had property across the street that Mike has some property across the highway from where he lives. And this huge oak tree fell and Mike cut up how many thousands of pounds of oak?
Well, I got 9 Rick out of it. Kenny and Kenny did most of his own. I helped him cut one, but it was huge. I cut it down for him because he didn't want to tackle it. But he ended up getting 17 Rick in his barn.
Now that's all this was out of one tree?
No. Mine, the one I cut up, I got over, I think I got over 5 Rick out of this one red oak. I don't have all of it split yet. I still got a pile of it to split. But I had loaned Kenny. Kenny had 10 trees that died. We've got a problem with that red oak borer here. And so I loaned Kenny my log splitter. I helped him split one day after I cut that tree down. But I tell you, man, I'll be 70 here in June.
So back on the story, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but people need to have a context that Mike is still very active, redefining aging, and actually bought a small, is it a John Deere tractor to be able to handle your driveway is about 500 feet long up the side of the hill there. So anyway, you're very active. So you're cutting that tree, but you're going to play for the worship band this week.
Well, yeah, I'll play it for the mass. I got 4 songs and the mass music to do. But you see this, I've decided I'm going to have to use my whiplash collar because that helps me. I think I've got some vertebra, but it's just work. I worked 30 years for Southwestern Bell Telephone Company, and it was a hard job. But going back to spiritual stuff, you know, when I became a Catholic, I had to go through what's called RCIA. It's Rite of Christian Initiation. And you go through, you learn what all these symbols and stuff in the Catholic Church are. You know why we make the sign of the cross? We make the sign of the cross because we invoke the Trinity in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So every time we pray, we invoke the Trinity. And and the only time I ever saw that used in the Baptist church was when we had baptism, you baptized my son Josh, and you dunk him down in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. But every time we pray, we invoke the Trinity over our prayers. But anyway, that was a kind of an eye-opening thing for me. And then I taught PRE, it's Parish Religious Education. After I left, I taught there at First Baptist for like 13 years. And then when I moved over in, I think it was 98, well, 99, I went to a group, Promise Keepers, because couldn't find any Catholic men to go. So I got on the bus of the Baptist church and we went over to Memphis.
And did they forgive you?
Oh man, they said, we got a Catholic in here. We're going to have to do some exorcism or something. But it was a good trip. It was a great trip. It was a great trip. And it opened my eyes to the works that Promise Keepers were doing at that time, and I was involved with them for a long time. And then I found out another group was St. Joseph Covenant Keepers, which was a similar group in the Catholic Church. But it was just, it was about the promises of matrimony, the promises of that validate your life of being a Christian. And so anyway, moving on down, and then you moved away. You're stuck in Tennessee now, Kenny.
Well, I tell you, you know, Mike and I, like I said, we go a long way back. But something that always inspires me is when you see people like Mike, who Mike is a man's man. And I tell you, when he was working for the phone company, it was just a challenge. It was a challenge physically. Yeah, I guess Mike's last part of the career there, he worked in fiber optics, you know, which was a challenge because anytime somebody cuts something, it's always down in the pit underground. And it's rough work and tedious. But the thing is that Mike, as you can even hear in the story he's telling of his life, legitimately born again and manifestation of God's power in his life. And he mentioned Fred and who else? And Bear Cheney.
Bear Cheney.
And some of these guys are guys that Mike brought in closer to the Lord, and they're walking with the Lord. And they all worked in a Sunday school class that started off with just a few fourth grade boys, and it ballooned. One of our largest children's classes, like 25 boys, but being cared for by people like Mike, who were the real deal, but showing these boys who, you know, every young boy needs desperately a man involved in their life. I didn't have that as a kid. My father traveled all the time, and he was a lost person on top of that. So it's encouraging when we realize that you can be a man's man, you can be rugged, and you can be born again, and you can be someone who cares about others and impacting lives. And so we still reminisce. I'll probably share this 1,000 times when we're doing these, Mike, because it just was indelibly imprinted in my mind that, as Mike mentioned, I eventually moved away from Greenwood, came back to Dallas-Fort Worth to go to Southwestern Seminary. And one of the last things that happened in Greenwood is that Mike hosted a cookout, a gathering for in my honor, and all these men that had been really reached through Mike and his effort, our work. And so to be there, he has a deck. Mike built his own home. It's a hexagonal, correct?
Yeah, it's six-sided.
A six-sided home. The lower part is into the earth, so it's always cool. But anyway, so, you know, here we are, but he had a deck on the upper level. And I can still remember that moment when we're all there, and me having a chance to thank all of them for their ministry to the church and to the people and their ministry to my life. And so I just want to say, I want to celebrate that because, you know, guys like me, I've been in the ministry since I was 17, and people will go, yeah, Kenny, blah, blah, blah. But when you hear someone else living in the quote unquote real world, I've lived in the real world all my life, but you know what I'm saying? To where they're saying, no, this is reality. This is the truth. And so I celebrate that, Mike, and so thankful for your witness. Let's talk a little bit about a story that happened to you just a couple of days ago. Michael shared this with me on the phone two nights ago. I guess it was the evening after the encounter happened with an individual in town. And they had a spiritual conversation, but the things that were discussed, I think, are very pertinent today. And people need to hear the story. So just kind of take it from there, Mike. You know what I'm talking about. So
okay. I've been having, since I do all this physical work, I've been having a pain, shoulder problems. So I went to a massage therapist. And anyway, I was on the table and we started talking. And about what was brought up first. Oh, I'll tell you what it was. You remember that Joel Osteen's church? She brought that up, and she said, "Do you think that's real Christianity?" And I said, "I don't think so. I said, I'm not sure. I don't know, but I said, from what I've seen, probably not." Because God meets us individual. He doesn't meet you. He can, but these mega churches, I think, lose part of the connection. that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think they lose that. But anyway, we were talking, and she said, "Well, what about Muslims? And what about Buddhists? And what about other so-called sects of religiosity?" And I said, "Well, I said I can't really say this or that, but I do know that from the fruits of their labor, a lot of them don't appear to have a good connection with the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Unless you have that connection to the Holy Spirit," because I told this person, I said, "You know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Father is still on his throne in heaven. So the only thing we have on earth is the revelation of God's word and the discernment and the confirmation through the Holy Spirit." Like, I can say, "Kenny, this is what I think, but you know, that revelation, if it's a revelation of the spiritual matter, you need to have that same revelation for it to be a true deal." So as we talk, we have a men's group here I meet at too, back at First Baptist. But this person, I told her to read the book of John. I said, if you want to start somewhere that is that has a spirit filling, I said, the Gospel of John speaks more about these spiritual things that Christ did, not so much of his works and his miracles and stuff. They're still part of that, but in John, it has more of a spiritual connection to it. Has a heart to heart, because John being the most loved, or you know, that was the way it came out was the one Jesus loved the most. Well, so their hearts were conformed, and it can only be conformed through that love and that Holy Spirit that protects us. That the Holy Spirit has three jobs, in my opinion. He's to confirm us of our salvation. He convicts us of our sins, and he teaches us in all righteousness. So without the Holy Spirit and God's Word, the Bible, I tell you, Kenny, I always was wondering about, and I had talked to people about the different translations of Bibles. So I started collecting Bibles, and I've got six different translations. And basically, every one of them says this, that God is love, and that he sent his son Jesus for our salvation. He's the redeeming factor for our sins that we can't redeem ourselves on. So, but anyway, all of this, I tried to explain to this person while we were talking. And here's the thing. We all plant seeds. A friend of ours, Kenny knows, he led a lot of people to the Lord. And I've heard him say it, and Kenny has too, that it was the seeds that he actually planted. It was all the seeds that was dropping out of his bag as he went between places. And that's really how we do it. When I came to the Catholic Church, you know, remember, Kenny, we used to go out on visitation on Monday nights at First Baptist. Well, when I came to the first, when I came to the Catholic Church, their deal was be a witness as you go. Wherever you go, be a witness. And I thought, well, that's a great concept. Just be the witness that God has called us to, wherever you are. Fact is, this one priest, he said, you know, he said, wherever you go, take Jesus with you. He said, if you're going fishing, you take Jesus with you. You're going, if you go to the boat show, you take Jesus with you. If you go to the beer joint, you take Jesus with you. So, and that really, that concept is you, as an individual, you allow that Holy Spirit to be a part of you and not just a figure of speech. You don't let that just being that Holy Spirit becomes a part of you. It flows in and out of you freely. And when it does that, then you can win people to the Lord and be a witness that God has called us to.
Well, so as you shared that with her, you told me that, you know, challenging her that as she read the book of John, that God would answer these questions for her.
Yes.
That he would reveal his truth. But then she also kind of segued into questions about the end times. So share what she said in that regard, but then also your response, because I think your response is profound, and I think it really hits the nail on the head for all of us, because as Mike and I talked about what occurred in that conversation, we were talking about how a lot of people have the end times on their minds. Even if they don't know Christ, if they don't profess to be a Christian, it seems like a lot of people, I mean, you know, even the Beatles evidently read the Bible, because in the song, I've quoted this before, in Rocky Raccoon, they talk about a Gideon's Bible that was there in the hotel room. So I thought, well, for whatever they want to present themselves as, they had that Gideon's Bible. And I think it shows some signs that they probably read it. So Mike, leading the woman to just understand that she can know the answers to these things for herself as she seeks God in the Word. But then she asked Mike about, well, you go ahead and pick it up there.
Well, she, here's the thing. You know, we've been waiting for the coming of Christ ever since he left. And so were the apostles. And it's been 2000 years now. But I said it could be, I told her it could be today or it could be tomorrow. It could be another 1,000 years. But I said, unless you're prepared, and I said, the only way you can be prepared is to find out the truth about the end times. And you know, I told you about Brother Bill Bennett, we went through eschatology. I know I went through it 5 times, the book of Revelations, the end time study. And there's more books, but we were mostly centered Revelation. But if you get into Revelations, it does look scary. But if you trust that God is going to do what he said he was going to do, that he will take care of you and that he will never leave you nor forsake you, then you have a calming assurance that allows you. But until we actually get into the study and trusting in the Word of God and through the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life and the discernment of the Word, we can't really have that assurance that, you know, that that's a that's a that's a bigger hammer or that's a bigger screwdriver. That's how we fix things when I worked. Bigger hammer, bigger screwdriver. If that didn't work, nothing would work. So when you think about that, you say, well, that assurance of salvation is real. And that assurance of this world coming to an end is real also, because that's what God has stated. You remember, I think I talked to you about this the other day, in Hebrews, and it's in Jeremiah too. Jeremiah 31:31-34, and Hebrews, I had to look, and it's chapter 8, and I'm really not sure of the verse. I think it's 10 through 14 or something like that. But what it's talking about is the old covenant and the new covenant. The Old Testament, which is the covenant, which was the Mosaic law, and then the new covenant. Well, what happens is that old has passed away, and what caused it to pass was the work Jesus did on the cross. He God himself came down as man and allowed himself to be crucified on a cross. Well, that blood covering goes back to the Old Testament of the sacrifice that they did in the temple. But now we have a much better covering through the blood of God himself. But what happened, I think, people, you know, they get caught up in this world and they lose sight of the faith that's required. And that's what we are. We're a faith-based Christianity. It's not a religion. It's Christianity. But anyway, in talking to this person, we discussed Buddhism. We discussed Hinduism. We discussed Islam. We discussed several things, several world religions. And I said, out of all of those religions, there is not one that gives you the assurance that the Holy Spirit does when you say, I want to know Jesus. Most of them are all do good religions. If you do this, you get that. If you do this, you get that. So, but in Christianity, all you have to do is believe. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become sealed, and that peace that He will give you. And I'm not going to say it's an easy walk, and you know, Kenny, it's not. It's a struggle, because we have to deal with worldly things. Our kids are dealing with worldly things right now, even though we've raised them up to be Christian and raised them best we can. They deal with this world because, as you and I talked, the world system is what's against us. And if that world system, it will probably be the death of us all, the world system. But I'm just praying for this person. And, you know, I will say this, prayer. There was a, when I came into Catholic Church, this friend of mine, he was a deacon that ran the RCIA. He led the RCI, and he had this saying. It was a monumental philosophical saying, and he said this: something happens when you pray that don't happen when you don't. And I thought, wow. So it took you all them years to figure that out. But that's something really that we need to constantly remember, that if we don't pray for these things, then they're not going to happen. You know, someone, I told, I can't remember, I've been to so many conferences and teachings on worship and spiritual uplifting, spiritual guidance. I've decided, Kenny, that there's two things that prohibit God from working, and it's not the unbelief, it's the unconfessed sin and the unforgiveness that we have for each other, we have, you know, for people. And but if we could get over those things, I really think God's kingdom would reign. You know what I'm saying? But in our human capacity, we're the natural man in this flesh. We're the natural man. And until you ask Jesus to come into your life and you start following him and being discipled, which as a kid, even as a young man, I was not discipled. But until you start being discipled through God's word and fellowshipping with other Christians and giving church a chance, you know, you don't get this. It's a process that happens. You just have to ask Jesus to come into your life, and then you start that. He was at First Baptist, Dale
Thompson.
Yes, I was watching him. We'd gone to Catholic church, and then I come home, and we usually go to 10 o'clock mass. So by the time I get home, Dale Thompson was on TV, and he was talking about salvation, and he was saying this: salvation being three parts, justification, sanctification, and glorification. And he said, you got to have justification when you ask Jesus into your life and you become a part of that. And then sanctification is when you're being set aside as a saint of God. And then glorification, when you pass from this life into the next. But those three steps are just like climbing a set of stairs. You have to go through these things to accomplish what we all perceive as heaven. What we're all looking to is being in the presence of God and Jesus, his son. And so that was a pretty eye-opening sermon by Dale Thompson about those things. And I thought, everybody needs to know that. They need to know that there's three parts of salvation. They need to know that we're a spiritual man and a natural man. And the natural man is the one that wants to sin. The spirit man tries to keep us from sinning, but that sometimes the natural man wins out over the spirit man, and that's that battle that goes on within us all the time.
Well, the Apostle Paul speaks to that because he dealt with that in his own life, that this struggle that's present because the fallen man in us has not been totally eradicated. It will be at the point of our death and translation into the presence of God. And, you know, Paul exclaims, you know, who can set us free from this? But thanks be to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And something that stood out to me, Mike, when you talked to your massage therapist, There was a couple of things that I think to me that stood out is by your loving compassion to answer questions, you pointed out to her that even though things look like they're coming unraveled, that we have been in the last days since the moment Jesus left the planet. And so we've been these, because she did ask you, do you think these are the last days? And you told her, in essence, well, in the good sense, some things look terrifying right now on the earth, but at the same time, we've been in this holding pattern. The disciples thought Christ was coming back in their time, the first century. And so that encouraging word to her, but pointing her to know these things for herself. But then the second thing that stood out to me was when she asked you, do you talk to everybody like this? And I think it's telling that Mike was talking to her just as he's talking to you and I through the magic of this medium, but people will listen to the truth. And she didn't write him off as a kook or a religious fanatic, from based on what I gathered from him sharing about, you know, right after it happened, that what she perceived is that this is someone who knows something I don't, and someone who seems to be knowledgeable about it. And so she was probing Mike for answers. And so we see that every day, if we will just come to a point in our lives, if we're Christians, to not hold back, not be ashamed of the fact that we're born again and that we say that there's a spiritual thing. I just saw a video last night where this great mind, I can't remember the guy's name, he's British, but he is at the upper echelons of that type of science and AI. And he's talking to this guy that's interviewing him, and the interview came to a close to where the man unapologetically, and he's, you know, he's an older gentleman, probably in his late 70s, but he said that I am a Christian. And he said, and as a scientist, I can say there is the spiritual realm, though many people deny it. And so he said that my whole approach towards the concern for AI and where things are headed and also what is capable and not capable is all based on the fact that there is something beyond this present life. And I just sent out Mike and a lot of friends a video that I came across where one of the chief gurus from Google, who's left Google, talking, he made the outright statement that the artificial intelligence has reached the sentient level, which means awareness. And it's interesting that, and I think he's telling on what he sees and knows, but this other gentleman here just in the last couple of weeks is saying, but not really, because he said the words are artificial intelligence. And so the machines will be able to do a lot of things. And I think even in the end, the very end, that the Antichrist, when they give life to the beast, it's going to be some sort of created, breathing, alive being, but it is not going to be human. It is not going to be truly sentient in the way that God created man in his image. And so Mike has modeled that ever since I've known him and being a witness to people around him. And it stood out in this conversation with this woman about salvation, about reality, who's right, who's wrong. And the big question on her mind that I perceived in Mike telling me the story firsthand was her concern over what's going on. Are these the last days? And so that word of encouragement that Mike gave, I want us to be inspired by this today for every person that's watching to understand that you can have the capability to change the world right where you are. And the ministry behind other things with is Guat.rocks, God, the World, and Other Things, the podcast. And it's on all the podcast players, but it all stems out of our ministry, Transform the City, One Life at a Time. And so that's where the change, the encouragement, the inspiration has got to come to, is in the moment, person to person, and in the communication of true fellowship and camaraderie, which people are starving for. And so, Mike, you manifest that. You've got, you know, your own children, and then you work with Sean, who owns a Chinese restaurant in town, and you're kind of are you kind of the grandfather to Sean's kids? Tell me about that before we close out.
I am. I met Sean 21 years ago, and I witnessed him all the time. And his kids, his daughter's She's going to college in DC, and his son's going to be a senior next year. But anyway, he called me, Eason, and said, "Hey, can you help me put a weight rack together?" So it's supposed to be here today. I'm waiting for him to call me. And so I'm gonna, he bought a, this kid, I mean, when I met Eason, he was 4 years old, and he's a little, was just a small Chinese kid. And
Mama's fixing your overalls.
yeah,
Now,
I don't, she's always hanging
well, no, it's still
around.
twist,
How
still
did you say?
twisted. Hey, what's going on,
About
Rita?
2 minutes.
About 10
Kenny
minutes,
said,
okay.
Kenny, oh, he, I, she can't hear you because I got the headphones in. Kenny
Oh.
said,
Hey.
And
Kenny.
hey, at that point,
How
your
you
overalls
doing?
twisted on your left side now. Your overalls twisted.
Yeah,
But
she's always Justin. I
now,
don't.
let me say that some have said that Mike actually sleeps in flannel overalls at night, but that's
No,
not true.
it's not true.
Now, if you see him, most of the, well, now, I do remember, I think that when we played flag football, you were in overall cutoffs. It seemed
No,
like,
I never
wait, what were
had.
you?
I
You
tell you,
never
they,
had.
I tell you what they were. They were camouflage cutoffs. They were
Okay.
camo cutoffs because I used to deer hunt, and I used to hunt a lot, but I went hunting this year with Tony and Larry Briley, and we went down, and I thought, I got down there in them hollows, and I thought, man, I ain't gonna shoot one down here. I'll never drag it out. So,
So back on Sean. So
okay,
I guess
well,
I bring that up because I mean you've even helped them with their restaurant.
yeah.
Because Greenwood has how many people now? The population in Greenwood.
Man, I tell you, Kenny, it's probably pumping right at 10 or above.
Wow. Now when I met you, Greenwood was 3,500,
Yeah, it
10 miles
was.
south of Fort Smith on Highway 71, State Highway 71.
Yeah,
So
now
it's about tripled.
you can't tell. You can't. Well, when you leave Fort Smith, there's a strip, but then they it's just it's crazy. There's so much traffic on 71 now, and
I can't
they're
imagine.
actually building a bypass around Greenwood.
Are they?
Yeah,
Which way? What's going to come from?
It's gonna come off of 10 here, down there, oh, Mount Harmony Road, somewhere in there, and
Oh,
it's
yeah.
going to go across all the way over to Highway 10. You know how 10 West goes over there and comes out on 71 by the stoplight? That's the plan, is going through there. And so what will happen? It'll take all. We're getting so much traffic on 10 now, truck traffic and everything else, that they're going to have to do something because there's so much traffic.
So you're saying is that going to be basically a bypass that goes to Little Rock down 10 and misses Greenwood?
Yeah, and it would be more like a truck route because we're getting you got a plant down here in Boonville now that my nephew works down there, and he said they're getting 160 trucks a week in and out.
What are they building?
They make those wipes. They make wipes for Walmart. They make wipes for the Army. You know,
You're
though,
talking about
just
sanitary?
sanitary wipes. They make like those mechanic wipes on a roll where they have
Wow.
the citrulline or something built on it.
Now, is that between Greenwood and Boonville or on the other side of Boonville?
No, it's right there in Boonville. You know where the you remember where the old what is it, Kids R Us plant in
Yeah,
Indiana?
yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what's in there now.
Oh yeah, because we were talking about that. It was like Little Tyke. They built
Yeah.
all the play equipment.
Yeah, for
So, oh, is it
kids.
in that same plant there?
Yeah.
I was
Yeah,
wondering.
and there was another plant next door. I can't remember what it was. But it takes they've got both plants.
It was. I may stand corrected. My wife's not here to. She's normally here producing, but she had to go over to my son's house. But Yeah, it was, I think, a competition to Little Tyke, but they were amazing. So funny. So now that has got a big 150 trucks a week.
Yeah, and it could be more now. This is a year or two ago that I was talking to him, but the problem with this is all these trucks have nothing but two lane roads to get back to their delivery point. You know, it's got Highway 23 North, 23 South, 10 East, 10 West. They only take you, 10 East takes you into Little Rock or Morrilton where you can get 40, and then, or 10 West takes you to over here through Greenwood where you can hit 71 and go north or south, or you can go 23. And you remember how crooked and narrow 23 North and South are. And
wow. So where's it going to come off of 540, go south, and then veer off to the left?
No, it will go, the bypass around Greenwood will just go over to 71. Mm-hmm. But, you know, eventually they've got that 49 that's set to go between here and Louisiana. Oh, actually, down toward Texarkana, because they've already got 49 built to that point.
I didn't know that. Now, where is that, to the east or west of Greenwood?
It will be just to the west, or just to the west and a little south. Remember where Hendricks Drive or Old Coker, the old highway that come out? Okay, it's going to be that way. They really, there's a different corridor. They'll maintain the old 71 south like it is now, but I don't know how they're going to connect. They're working on from Barling to Alma right now, which is like, I'm not really sure how far that is, maybe 8 to 12 miles.
Yeah, it's quite a ways. Yeah, because Barling's, they're off of the interstate.
Yeah, they're going to have big clover leaf, and they're going to, over in Alma, there they'll have interchange. You'll hit, you can hit I-5, I-40, I-49, and then right in Alma itself, you hit 64, and this is state or U.S. Highway 64 and U.S. Highway 71. So there's going to be a conflux of like four major highways right there in Alma.
So where Alma goes north to Fayetteville, which is the superhighway now, so that's just going to connect in, and they'll be able to go all the way from Fayetteville all the way to Louisiana then.
All the way to Lafayette, Louisiana, hit Highway 10. That was the deal. They've completed 49 from state line all the way to Lafayette, where you hit I-10.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But Amanda lived down there. I guess she was down in Baton Rouge for 3 years, and we would go see her, and I helped move her. Well, 49, you didn't really get on 49 until you were at Shreveport. And Shreveport to Lafayette, it was complete. But from Shreveport to the state line was still a two-lane highway. Crooked 71.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a privilege to talk with you today, Mike. And I'm excited. I don't think I'm going to have to do any editing. I haven't seen any glitching. There was a little glitch, but the Lord's just been present here. And I tell you, it's always a privilege to talk to my mountain man, Mike, friend. And we'll talk again, because Mike is a plethora of knowledge. One of my favorite comedy movies, The Three Amigos, when the Three Amigos go to, they think they're going to film a show in front of the town. And instead, they've been asked to come to the town to save them from the El Guapo, the evil one.
Banditos.
Yeah, the banditos. And so when El Guapo is sitting there getting ready to plot to take over things, he asks his help. He says, "Would you say that we have a plethora?" And the guy says, "Yes, El Guapo, we have a plethora." And he goes, "Would you say that we have a veritable plethora?" And so with Mike, you have a veritable plethora of things. And so probably next time we'll talk about bees. And Mike is a master beekeeper, and he can tell us a lot about, I always like to hear a report on the bees. But
I'll tell you what, it will be, that will be a two-week that will be a two-week interview.
There you go. I will say this, and also next time we'll talk about guitar making, because he makes guitars, banjos, mandolins, and all the like. I have a guitar here that I'm going to learn to play. Well, we'll talk about that later. That's a whole other story. But Mike, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. And let me close in a prayer.
Okay.
In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for this session, and I thank you for Kenny's willingness to still be in the ministry and trying to lead people to Christ. And I just pray for I pray for what's happening in our country, and I just pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we can do something about it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I close with this. Remember, the sun is always shining somewhere. So my friends, may you go in peace now to love and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.